What's going on, folks? Welcome to episode 17 of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Allen. I am once again joined by the dynamic duo of Eric Crail and Matthew Walters. If you play in leagues with two-week matchups for the playoffs, you're likely starting this week. So if you made it, congratulations, first of all. There's quite a few injuries to dive into. We'll get to that here in just a minute. Certainly, there is no time like the present to check out your waivers. While you're listening, check your waiver listing. Excuse me. Check your waiver wires. Make sure that you are set up for success in the playoffs. Matthew, as you prefer for the play... I cannot talk tonight. It's going to be a long show, but stick with me here. Matthew, as you're preparing for the playoffs, do you regularly target a specific position to try to bulk up some depth on your roster?
Well, I feel like kind of the general rule is to target those backup running backs that if the starter goes down, that they'll have immediate impact. Look at Sony Michel this last week and just kind of have them on your bench as a break glass in case of emergency. But I kind of like to, one, I've already started doing this where I look at the defenses to stream. So really I picked up defenses 2 weeks ago that I wanted to stream throughout the playoffs already. And then I also kind of like to see who I might be playing in the first round and try to grab players that they might pick up. And worst case, they're just on my bench. But there's no worse feeling than them picking up someone off of waiver wires and playing them and then beating you. So just trying to do anything. I know that's a lot of moving parts and maybe that's too much for some people, but that's what I like to do because I'm a crazy person.
Hey, anything to win. It's never too much. That's just savvy fantasy management. And to get to this point in the season, you've probably already done some of that. I really like being heads up of what you were talking about. Like, see who you're going to be matched up against. If they're weak at quarterback, there's a few of them out there that you might want to try to scoop up this week if you've got an extra slot or two. Eric, speaking of having an extra spot to fill, when you have one, do you prefer to have a handcuff to your starting RB, or would you rather have a totally different player for the sake of variety on your roster?
I think because of positional scarcity, it would be really smart to have a handcuff to your own running back. But I mean, this is also the time of year when rookie wide receivers really start to show up. Unless you're Jamar Chase, it takes rookie wide receivers a few weeks, you know, maybe even half the season to start to perform and produce for your team. So, you know, I think that you can already see that with Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, Jalen Waddle, Elijah Moore. You know, cats like that, it just takes them a little bit to get going. So if I was a fantasy manager, then I'd be poking around the waiver wire to see if any of these guys are still available.
Yeah, I love it. Something I don't often think about is looking at rookies just because they're often overlooked. So certainly some good advice there. Guys, we're here to talk about injuries. And as we all know, an injured player can't really score many points for your team. So let's get to it. Here at the Next Man Up, we have a saying that the best ability is availability. So let's talk about, first of all, the quarterbacks. We're going to go by position here, starting with the quarterbacks. Matthew, we'll throw it over to you first. And the New York Giants are dealing with actually a couple of injuries at the quarterback position. Daniel Jones still dealing with his neck strain. And Mike Glennon actually suffered a concussion this week. So what's it looking like in New York?
So, yeah, Daniel Jones still dealing with that neck strain that popped up after the game last week. And he was doubtful all last week, although there was kind of some mixed reports last week going back and forth. But anyway, and he's doubtful again this week. So once again, when they're doubtful, the odds of them playing are not great. Like I said on last week's pod, I can't really think of an instance where a player has been doubtful and then played. So at least not in this kind of newer age where with the distinctions they have now on the injury reports. Now, Mike Glennon, he popped up in concussion protocol after the game. So it's kind of unclear when this concussion happened during the game or even if he was feeling symptoms during the game, because sometimes with concussions, it can be a couple hours, if not a day later, that you're starting to feel the symptoms. So that's what kind of makes them weird. So like we've talked about before, with concussions, you're kind of keeping an eye out on their practice reports, and if they're getting limited activity or by the end of the week, if they're a full participant, that's kind of a good sign that they're gonna they're going to play. But if they kind of go the whole week, no activity, or even still limited towards the end of the week, then that's kind of a sign that they might not play. So especially with concussions, it's a good idea to keep an eye on the injury reports going throughout the week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things we talk about all the time. It's a non-linear injury. There's no set timeline. So you just got to watch the practice reports. How desperate would you be this week to need to start Jake Fromm at quarterback in your lineup? We have little to no knowledge of what he may do.
I would have to be incredibly desperate. I can't think of a scenario in which I would be playing Jake Fromm. I feel like if you're at that point, then you're not in the playoff hunt, and there's no way you're starting him. Like, there's got to be other QBs on the wire that you could pick up and play besides Jake Fromm, unless you're in a two QB league and they're all taken. And even then, I would really hope you're not playing him.
Yeah. Tread lightly. We don't really know what to expect. And he doesn't have a ton of healthy weapons or really notable weapons in New York as it is. Eric, another former Georgia quarterback, Justin Fields, still dealing with his rib injury. What can you tell us as far as an update for him?
Yeah, I mean, we've got two team quotes to go off of just to start. I mean, Darnell Mooney was quoted as having said, you know, if Justin Fields is truly suffering from a rib injury still, then he's doing a really good job of not showing it. But I mean, Coach Nagy, he's come out and said that we're never going to risk, you know, Justin Fields' health, you know, whatsoever. And it's clear that they see him as their long-term answer. You know, I think it's important to look at the team and their standing because, you know, rib injuries can, to a degree, really just be a pain tolerance injury. So, you know, if they really wanted to, they could toss Justin Fields out there, you know, at a certain point. The team is 14th seed in the NFC right now. I think they're like 4-8. But the crazy thing about the NFC is that they're really only two games away from the 6th seed, which belongs to my Washington football team, who's 6-6. So, you know, they do have Andy Dalton coming off of a win, you know, 2 weeks ago. And then he played a good game against the Cardinals. You know, you can look at Tua and his rib injury as a comparison, which took about 3 weeks. Every injury is different. But, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that seems about right for this type of thing. My guess is that Justin Fields should be ready in the next week or so. But ultimately, you know, the team is playing competitively and they might just stick with Andy Dalton and let him ride for the rest of the year.
Yeah, Andy Dalton's kind of, I don't want to say he's making a comeback, but he's off to a fairly decent start despite not getting a lot of run in the beginning of the year. He would be one that I would certainly put ahead of Jake Fromm on waivers if I was desperate at quarterback. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure what their matchup is this week, but he played two decent games in a row. Hopefully he'll have Allen Robinson coming back soon. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but he's one that I would consider if I'm really desperate at the quarterback position. Now, Matthew, Carolina is also desperate at the quarterback position. I feel like we talked about this ad nauseum this year. Sam Darnold still dealing with his shoulder ailment. Do we have any updates for him?
There really hasn't been an update on him since November 29th was the last report I could find in which he was throwing some. They haven't designated him to return from IR. Now, there was a report today that Cam Newton's probably going to start this week. So I would doubt Darnold's going to be activated off IR. If he is, I guess there's kind of a little bit of a QB controversy there with Cam Newton and Sam Darnold, and really I don't think either's gonna truly win you games if you're Carolina, so you're probably looking to the draft next year anyway. So I mean, at this point, even if Sam Darnold does return, you're not really wanting to play him. He's not showing. The first 3 weeks of the season were amazing when he rushed for like 6 touchdowns or something like that in those first 3 weeks, but he has not done anything since. So
he made a lot of people believers in those first few weeks and then just kind of fell off the cliff and went back to residing in mediocrity.
Oh, I was feeling so good over those last 3 weeks. Those first 3 weeks I traded for him in a dynasty league in the offseason, and I was like, I'm a genius. And then quickly got shot back down to earth when Sam Darnold did Sam Darnold things.
Tough pill to swallow there. I know JJ was super excited to see him playing well at the beginning of the year, and then he just kind of... So hopefully he can turn it around once he gets healthy, but nobody I'm really going to be relying on out of Carolina, whether it end up being Cam Newton, PJ Walker, or if Darnold comes back, I'm not too excited about their fantasy prospects as it sits. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Eric, suffered a dislocated pinky this week. He stayed in the game. He finished the game, put up a decent line, but they currently only have one other QB on the depth chart. Do you think that this pinky might hold him out? Are they going to have to pull somebody up? What are we looking at?
No, I mean, I think it's a really good chance that he's going to play through it. He played 100% of the snaps on Sunday. And I read even that the trainers, they tried to buddy tape it on the sideline for a little bit, but Joe Burrow opted to keep playing raw without the buddy tape, which is pretty significant. I mean, that's a nasty injury. The image looks horrible, but he was able to play and it didn't look like he skipped a beat. So, you know, I think it's pretty good news that the team isn't already calling up people, you know, just in case. It sounds like they're pretty confident that Burrow is going to play. My guess is that Burrow's going to play. He played just fine last week. I don't think there's much concern.
Yeah, if he needs one, I'll happily donate either of my pinkies. He can choose. Sticking to pinkies, Aaron Rodgers broke his pinky toe, Matthew. He said on the Pat McAfee show this week that a procedure is still a possibility. Do you really think that he could possibly end up having a surgery, or is he just kind of playing the media right now?
I think surgery is unlikely at this point. Like, I feel like you would have gotten it done already. Now, he said, oh, I could get it done Monday, Tuesday, and then be back for Sunday that game. But if that was the case, wouldn't you have already done it? Like, you're already sitting out of practice all week to have your not be on your toe. Why wouldn't you get the surgery if that was the case, unless there's more going on that we don't know about, which is very possible when it comes to Aaron Rodgers? But it's not really, I mean, he's been playing great with it so far, so it's nothing I'm super concerned about. I'm still rolling Aaron Rodgers out there to play, but I doubt at this point he gets surgery. And if he does, it's looking like he won't miss any time, even if he does. But yeah. There's always a risk though with surgery that you could develop infection and stuff like that. So that might be one reason they're kind of trying not to do it on the very, very off chance.
At this point, I feel like Aaron Rodgers has just been trolling us all season long, and he's living it up. He's enjoying it. As long as he hangs out with Pat McAfee, I think he's just going to keep messing with all of us. And it's quite entertaining, if you ask me. Tyrod Taylor in Houston, Eric, got injured this week. His non-throwing wrist, imaging came back, showed that he has some torn ligaments. What can you tell us about his status moving forward?
I think that this is actually kind of a bad one where they've already ruled him out for week 14. I think that means that things were pretty obvious from the get-go. It was his non-throwing hand, which matters. I mean, Baker Mayfield had a dislocated shoulder on his non-throwing shoulder, and he's still playing. The Houston Texans, they aren't playing for anything but a better draft pick and pride. So, I think there's a real chance that they punt and give Tyrod Taylor some real time off to end the year.
Yeah, he's had some tough luck the past couple of years. At least this injury wasn't at the fault of the training staff. Taysom Hill in New Orleans. Matthew, we've got an interesting one here. Whenever I initially read the injury report, I was like, I could not think of the last time I saw somebody that suffered from mallet finger. Can you tell us, first of all, what is mallet finger? And second, how is this going to affect his ability to play?
Mallet finger is basically you've torn a ligament in your finger that is making it difficult to control your finger and extend it in ways that you need to extend your finger. So when you're going to throw a football with mallet finger, you now don't have full control over that finger because there's a torn tendon in your finger. So in the case of Taysom Hill, I'm going to try to be nice here with him because I did not think he was that great of a thrower before, but you saw it in the game that he got his finger injured, and now all of a sudden who wasn't a great thrower before turned into an absolute terrible thrower and was throwing balls into the dirt. So as long as he is dealing with his injury, it's going to be difficult for him to probably throw the ball effectively. Now, the good news is Taysom Hill runs a lot. And even though he threw four interceptions in the game, he still ended up with 24 fantasy points because he runs a lot. So you're probably still throwing him out there as a fantasy player, but it's probably not great news for the New Orleans Saints that your already Tim Tebow-esque QB is now worse than that with his injury.
Yeah, that's just a preposterous line. Four interceptions and 24 fantasy points. But hey, when you've got a tight end playing quarterback, anything can happen, right? In his place, if he's unable to go, it'll be Trevor Siemian again. And bringing up the next man up in this situation, I realized I failed to mention Davis Love would be the fill-in as Tyrod Taylor continues to miss time. So real quick, before we move on to our last quarterback, out of the three, Trevor Siemian, Davis Love, and Jake Fromm, how would you rate those, Eric?
For fantasy purposes. Yeah, no, I prefer Trevor Siemian for sure. He's kind of, you know, obviously they're all below average quarterbacks, but he's not really one that, you know, he can move the offense, and I think he can throw a deep ball. I think he's average, below average quarterback, you know, of the below average quarterbacks, he's average.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, Alvin Kamara hopefully coming back behind him. That helps a good bit to have him to dump off to. We'll get to that in a minute. All right, last thing here, Eric. Jalen Hurts dealing with his ankle injury. Minshew mania. He lived up to the hype. Is he back, or is it Jalen Hurts season still?
I think it's 100% Jalen Hurts season. They've got a bye week coming up, and I really think that Jalen Hurts could have played last week if they weren't playing the Jets and confident in Gardner Minshew. You know, I mean, the injury has been a bit ambiguous, but, you know, two plus weeks, that should be enough time for Jalen Hurts to play again.
Yeah. Alrighty. But hey, if you're looking for somebody to stash just in case he has a setback during the bye week or after the bye week, Gardner Minshew might be a name to keep an eye on. Alrighty. I just got a good look from Matthew on that one. Let's move on to running backs. Matthew, Chase Edmonds is possibly returning from IR this week. How do we think that's going to affect James Conner's fantasy value? He's been a pleasant surprise this year.
Yeah, he's been awesome this year for fantasy managers, but Edmonds coming back definitely cuts into his workload, and it is anticipated he's going to return from IR, and I believe they are the Monday night game, so you might not know till Monday that he is playing. So it could cause some turmoil. One, you're probably not playing Chase Edmonds this week if you do have him. At least I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be relying on them activating him off of IR and then playing coming off of that. Although we've seen some running back come off of IR and do fantastic afterwards. But if you're the James Conner owner, this makes things interesting because you might all of a sudden find out Monday that you've been relying on James Conner, and now Chase Edmonds gets activated and James Conner's workload gets cut in half, and he becomes the kind of touchdown needed to be successful in fantasy that he was earlier in the season. So I would probably be trying to come up with a different game plan than playing James Conner, but I also don't have any James Conner in any of my teams, just to be brutally honest, because I wasn't drafting him. So I don't know. It's a real conundrum for Conner owners.
Yeah, like you said, obviously it'll affect his value somewhat, but I don't think he's going to just fall off a cliff. He's a top 12 running back right now. I believe he's still top 12. He was scoring touchdowns at an alarming rate and bolstering his value quite a bit. I don't think that's going to end anytime soon. If anything, Chase Edmonds will just kind of dip into his receiving down work. Eric, Joe Mixon suffered a neck injury. What's the latest on him? Is he still going to be good to go? He looked great through three quarters, and then they kind of let him rest last week after that neck injury.
Yeah, I mean, I think he only missed like 9 plays Sunday.
I thought it was a whole quarter.
It may have been, but it wasn't a lot. I mean, I think that he'll be fine with this type of injury. You know, everything that's coming out is is really marginalizing this type of injury. I think that this is one of those things where, you know, at the worst case, it turns out to be like a Daniel Jones type of neck strain injury that, you know, he gets, he becomes inactive last minute. But, you know, your best bet for Joe Mixon is just to watch the practice report. And, you know, you want to see at least a couple limited practices by the end of the week.
Yeah, if he does end up missing time, Chris Evans, the rookie, was filled in more for him than Samaje Perine. Samaje Perine, I think, only got like 6 carries in relief last time he missed time. So Chris Evans might be one to stash on your waiver or from the waivers if you're looking for a good handcuff. Matthew, Melvin Gordon has been dealing with a hip/shoulder injury. He was out last week, and wow, Javonte McCaffrey, I mean, Javonte Williams just showed out this week. Is it going to stay the Javonte show, or is Melvin Gordon coming back soon?
I mean, Melvin Gordon's probably going to be pushing to come back soon, yeah. Because it may already be too late for him after seeing what we saw last week, but dude was holding on by a thread to keep this timeshare going that he had with Javonte Williams, and Javonte Williams might have just smashed that to bits last week. But Melvin Gordon, I think he'll be pushing to play. I would think he gets back to playing, hopefully. Now, as a fantasy manager, even if he gets back, I'm not relying on him after seeing what Javonte Williams just did. But if he does come back, it might cut into Javonte Williams just enough now that he doesn't quite put up those fantasy numbers that he was. So it's almost like the Chase Edmonds situation, but on a greater scale, because Javonte Williams was the number one running back on the week without Melvin Gordon there.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. Yeah.
God, sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, we'll see. It's going to depend on kind of the practices Melvin Gordon gets in. I mean, if I was them, I'd be like, Gordon, let's take it easy. Let's make sure you're healthy going into next year for whoever gets you and signs you to a contract, because someone will. And let's just let the rookie do his thing. Like, we don't really need you here anymore. But
yeah, that's actually a good segue. I was going to kind of go into that about Melvin Gordon. That tandem has been great this year. I kind of expected it to be Melvin Gordon's job to lose at the beginning of the season, and then the torch kind of get passed as we went on. But it's really been a decent split. Obviously, it's not Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, where they're both putting up RB1 numbers all season long, but they've both been fairly serviceable. But I think the torch has kind of been passed. But Melvin Gordon earned himself some money this year. I'm excited to see where he ends up and hope he can kind of get back to a bell cow role. Where do you guys think would be a good fit for him next year? Because I've got one place in mind specifically that could really use his abilities.
The Bills.
Oh, that's a good one. They were not my same conference. I was thinking Miami Dolphins. Goodness. Oh, they could use somebody who can, find the end zone from the backfield. I don't
know. Or like someone younger, maybe.
Yeah, both those seem,
you know,
seem great to me.
Look, they need to do the same thing that the Broncos did this year. Sign him to a 1-year deal, draft a young running back, let him show them the way.
That's true. Or didn't the Texans sign like 5 or 6 aging running backs? Yeah, maybe he just goes to the Texans, joins that squad.
There you go. Well, they just released his old running back or his old running mate, Philip Lindsay, so what the heck? They can try him out and then cut him as well.
Maybe the Texans will wait till he signs with another team, then trade their star receiver for him.
Oh, no.
Genius.
Too soon.
Big brain. Big brain.
Eric, we're putting up the bat signal. You ready? It's time for Holy Hamstrings, Batman.
Oh, no.
Damian Harris pulled up on Monday Night Football. Speaking of Damian Harris on Monday Night Football, his touchdown was incredible, and I'm not all too convinced that his hamstring finally just came back down to earth and caught up to him after that run. But he's dealing with a hamstring injury. What can you tell us about his status?
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't ever listened to the show, then we take hamstring injuries very seriously around here. And that's right. Because, you know, in the first 2 to 3 weeks of after experiencing the injury, the recurrence rates are really, really high. And, you know, without knowing specifics, as you know, pedestrian fantasy managers, it's going to be really impossible for us to determine the severity of the injury, how likely it is for him to, you know, get back out there next week. And, you know, even if he does get back out there, how will he be able to perform? So, you know, this is one of those cases where you have to take, you have to just absorb every piece of information that's available, all the coach speak, everything that's out there about, you know, the MRI and his, you know, his ability to practice, because it's all going to matter. You know, it's all that we have right now. And, you know, it could really go a multitude of ways. So, you know, worst case scenario is pretty bad, but there is a best case scenario where he gets back sooner than later.
Yeah, so far I've only seen him listed as questionable. I haven't seen him already ruled out, which is a good sign that there's not likely a tear or anything super severe where right away they're like, oh yeah, he's out. But as we always say, keep an eye on the practice reports. It is a shorter week for them since they played on Monday night. So if you're looking for somebody to fill in, maybe you have a running back on a bye week, maybe you've suffered from one or many of these RB injuries, Ramondre Stevenson should be a good fill in. If not Ramondre Stevenson, Brandon Bolden's one to keep an eye on. They've both of those running backs have played pretty well in that offense and had some serviceable weeks at the flex position. Matthew, Miles Sanders coming off of what looked like it might be kind of a bounce back kind of week. He suffered an ankle injury, was out for a while, came back, played, said that he tweaked it in practice this week and then looked great. And then after the game says that he tweaked the ankle again. Do we have any news as far as what's actually going on?
So, well, I mean, you kind of described it perfectly. He keeps tweaking this ankle that has been bothering him since week 8 that I believe landed him on IR there for a little bit. Now, at this point, what concerns me is that it seems like this, they haven't said this, but it seems like he's almost having chronic ankle instability is what it's called, which can happen when you've sprained your ankle multiple times, or as I'm sure he has throughout his career, because normally your ankle doesn't just keep re-aggravating the injury. You would think the injury gets 100%, especially if you landed on IR for it and then you're designated to return. You would think they would wait till the ankle injury is 100%. So to me, that almost kind of seems like what's going on with him right now, which really concerns me for at least the rest of this year, because it's kind of turning into this chronic issue that every few days he's re-aggravating this ankle. Now, of course, there's ways they can help mitigate that risk by taping and ankle bracing and whatnot. But at the end of the day, those can only do so much when your body no longer wants to be stable in that joint.
Yeah, I mean, obviously totally different sport, but I know Steph Curry at the beginning of his career had tons of ankle injuries, issues, and he plays with a brace on both of his ankles every single game, and he's one of the best players in basketball right now. So I don't know, maybe Miles Sanders needs to look into some bracing, but he's still listed as questionable for this week. So keep an eye on his practice report. If he's unable to go, I expect it to be Kenny Gainwell, and Jordan Howard should be coming back. I would expect him to be more of the bell cow kind of role, but I don't know that you can really call anybody a bell cow in Philadelphia because they just run such a committee. You're kind of throwing a dart, hoping you get the one that scores a touchdown for them. Eric, speaking of a committee, this backfield in Seattle is a mess. We already know we have Chris Carson out for the rest of the season with his neck injury and surgery. Alex Collins now has an abdominal injury. We saw Adrian Peterson come back and score a touchdown for them last week, which I found today that was the sixth team that he has scored a rushing touchdown for, which is an NFL record.
Impressive.
First player to ever do that. So shout out AP. But I missed when they signed him. I didn't even realize he was on the Seahawks. And then I saw that they promoted him and he ended up playing. I was like, what the heck? I say all of that to say, are we going to see Alex Collins back anytime soon? Or what do we expect in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Collins was listed as questionable all last week. And ultimately, he was a scratch for week 13. You know, Pete Carroll had to say that, you know, Alex Collins just needed a week off and he will be ready for week 14 for what that's worth. But I mean, the Seahawks they're all in on a Super Bowl this year, sitting at 4-8. And, Pete Carroll said that, you know, this week off, quote, will help Alex down the stretch. So, you know, maybe the team is just looking to establish the run. They're really looking for this bell cow running back, Alex Collins, and he's going to be the ticket to the Super Bowl. You know, I think he will play. You know, what that'll do for them, I don't know. But
you're killing me. It's if there was ever a time to let Russ cook, it is now.
Please put him in the kitchen.
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Limited. All right, Matthew, you brought to my attention Elijah Mitchell was in the concussion protocol in San Francisco. That's another running back room that's just, they're perpetually a mess. They can't stay healthy. I don't know what's going on with that running back room, but Elijah Mitchell in the concussion protocol. Do we know where he is?
I mean, Elijah Mitchell, if the dude can just stay healthy, he's fantastic. Like, he's been such a surprise this year, and it's been awesome. But it seems like every week we're talking about him. And this week he's landed in concussion protocol, which kind of like Mike Glennon, I believe they found it after the game, and which means he probably self-reported symptoms. So good on him for doing that and looking out for his own safety, because especially after the game, you can kind of hide whether you're feeling stuff or not. But once again, it's just one of those things to keep an eye on the practice reports on if he's getting to be a full participant at the end of the week, and if he's cleared all the steps in the protocol, and if he's limited all week or non-participant all week, then there's some concern there. Well, if he's non-participant all week, he's not going to play on Sunday. That's right. Pretty much guaranteed. But if he's limited all week, then it's kind of a coin toss. Usually if you get a full participant by the end of the week, you're probably playing. So it's just, once again, concussions are non-linear, but practice reports for them are almost more important than any other injury, at least in my opinion.
The 49ers running back room is such a mess. I don't even know what to do with it. Obviously, we've got Raheem Mostert out with chipped knee cartilage. Who knew that was possible? Trey Sermon is on IR. Sorry, his name just slipped my mind. Now Elijah Mitchell in concussion protocol. Last time we were without all three of them, Jeff Wilson got the start. He was meh. I'm kind of avoiding this backfield unless it's Elijah Mitchell. All right, the last of our running backs we're going to talk about here, and we've kind of got something interesting to talk about after we get the injury news. Kenyon Drake broke his ankle again this week, Eric. Is he out for the season, or is this, I mean, this late in the season, he's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely out for the season. This was the most severe version of a high ankle sprain, where the sprain goes all the way up and eventually fractures the bone. He will be ready for next season. He signed through next year, you know, on a two-year deal that totals $11 million in guaranteed. But, I mean, he'll be a 28-year-old running back coming off of a season-ending injury to his leg. So, you know, he might not be as effective. It's going to be a tougher thing to come back from.
Yeah, it's a real bummer for him. Second year in a row. And he had some interesting things to say on Twitter. I'm going to read this off of his Twitter so I get it right. I don't want to try to paraphrase it. He said, the NFL needs to look at this specific style of tackling. And he posted a video of it happening. If you're squeamish, don't watch it because it's straight up his leg breaking. He said, they're throwing flags for taunting and protecting QBs from getting touched. But this is my second straight season being injured by a guy pulling me back and using his body weight to roll up on my legs. In the video, you see the defensive player kind of come from behind beside him and grab him and pull him back, and his body does roll up on the back of his legs. Now, whether that's intentional or not is kind of up for debate, but I kind of want to hear you guys weigh in on this, because I feel like what he's getting at is it should be penalized in the same spirit that a horse collar tackle is. Like, a horse collar tackle, though, is way easier to identify, like, and to avoid for a defensive player. This kind of thing, it's like, if they start penalizing it, can defensive players just no longer tackle you from behind? Like,
yeah, so first off, I kind of agree wholeheartedly with one point he makes, that it seems like the NFL cares about nitpicky, stupid stuff rather than player safety at times, especially with these new taunting rules and stuff like that, which I won't get into because we could divulge into a 20-minute conversation about how dumb they are. But with this particular type of tackle, I get where he's coming from, because it's a lot like a horse collar on why the horse collar was outlawed to begin with. But it's hard to judge this particular tackle. Now, to me, it's very similar to the you can't tackle a QB and like drive them into the ground, which is a flag. But I also don't think that should be a flag, because I don't see how you really differentiate that. But you're already asking these defenders to do too much when they're going to make a tackle. Besides the normal grabbing the face mask and can't lead with your head. And I totally get it. It's all for player safety, and I'm all for that. But I almost feel like this one's just too far. Like you would get flagged 10 times a game, defenders making a tackle if you started throwing a flag for this. And like you said, I don't think it's intentional when they do that. And I feel like that has to be taken into consideration here. Like, there's no way of controlling it, I don't feel like, but I'd love to hear Eric's thoughts on it.
No, I mean, I agree. And I think that a big thing that the NFL is struggling with is too much game stopping and starting. You know, they want the game to be fluid and for the penalties to be obvious. I think, you know, to your point, it's true that, or to Kenyon Drake's point, it's true that they're being very nitpicky and particular with other penalties. But, you know, I don't think that should hold any weight towards this being a penalty. That just means be less nitpicky about other penalties. It's darn near impossible for referees to judge this type of tackle, I think, especially in real time. And it really seems very happenstance. You know, I get that this is 2 for 2 for him, but I just think that, you know, the NFL is a rough game, and you're going to get some big dudes falling on top of you. It really sucks.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's 2 years in a row, and it sucks that it's the same players, same type of thing, but it's hard to judge intent unless you have somebody like Ndamukong Suh stomping on people. Like, it's hard to judge intent. Like, I don't think that player from Washington, and off the top of my head I can't remember his name, tackled Kenyon Drake on that play and thought, I'm gonna break his ankles. Like, no, he's probably thinking, oh, the running back's about to break loose from my teammates trying to pull him down, I need to make sure this tackle happens. Other players keyed in on it on Twitter, so it's kind of interesting to see that interaction. Former Alabama teammate Mark Ingram said, 100% bro, if the league is serious about, quotes, player safety, this specific style of tackling needs to be penalized and disciplined. And then a defensive back from the Ravens, I forget who it was, he essentially came back and said that you offensive players need to give us a break, the defensive players don't really get any leeway. And it's kind of interesting to hear the back and forth between, you know, somebody that plays the same position as Kenyon Drake, but also a defensive player. He's like, you know, it's getting harder and harder for us to do our job. You know, the further that NFL goes with penalizing defensive players for what seems like a routine-ish play, I feel like the harder it is for them to play, period. Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
So obviously we don't want to see somebody get hurt, but you got to kind of find the balance on what's going to be easy for referees to call and what's not realistic. And that's just an unfortunate reality of the game. But that's enough there. Let's talk about wide receivers. Matthew, Allen Robinson, he's been out for a while with a hamstring injury. Do we have any updates on him and when we may see him on the field again?
So the update is the same as has been the last couple of weeks. He has not practiced since this injury popped up. And as far as I'm concerned, I would doubt we see him this week, unless we start seeing him log some practices. But kind of unfortunate thing for Allen Robinson, or I guess fortunate for fantasy managers, depending on how you think about it, is at this point you're not relying on him. And if you did draft him, you're probably not in good shape at this point anyway. And at this point, he's probably sitting on your waiver wire. So, I mean, with the hamstring injury, it's hard to tell what or even when he might start practicing and start playing. he hasn't ended up on IR at all, so that's promising. But as we've seen with hamstrings in the past, that doesn't always mean they're not going to end up on IR, as it did with Christian McCaffrey earlier in the year, where he didn't go on IR, and then 3 weeks later, everyone thought he was going to be returning, and then all of a sudden, oh, nope, he actually is going on IR. So my thoughts on it, I wouldn't be surprised if we see something similar with Allen Robinson, that he actually does end up being on IR, or he's had some sort of setback, because so far he hasn't even logged a limited practice in the last however many weeks since this injury happened.
Yeah, and even if he does get back to playing this year, he just hasn't been himself. I don't know if it's been that he's had a different quarterback thrown to him or what. With Andy Dalton's recent play, I'd be kind of curious to see what they can do if they play together, but he's kind of been a bummer this year.
I mean, they were at the beginning of the year, and it still didn't. I mean, it's just been, the whole year has been,
it's been a mess for Allen Robinson. I'm hoping he can turn it around. The only receiver really that I'm interested in Chicago right now is Darnell Mooney. Both for the short term and long term in Dynasty, I think he's found a good fit there. He's got a good relationship with Justin Fields. I don't think either of them are going anywhere anytime soon. Matthew, I personally take exception. I'm going on a tangent here. Sorry, Eric. I personally take exception to you saying that you're in bad shape if you have him on your roster. Listen to my sad tale for just a moment. I came into a season in a Dynasty league, which I'm somehow in second place. Listen to these receivers. It sounds great, right? Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, AJ Brown, Julio Jones, and Allen Robinson. Those are my five receivers. And then I had Paris Campbell as my, like, oh, we might use him in the flex here and there. And I'm now starting Traquan Smith and Keelan Cole in my two wide receivers.
I was about to say, Laquan Treadwell. Are you playing?
I actually also roster Laquan Treadwell.
Smart man. Big brain energy.
Not really.
What you got to do sometimes.
So it's rough. Thankfully, Jonathan Taylor's keeping me afloat. But
is Laquan Treadwell the Jake Fromm of wide receivers?
No, I think he was more highly touted coming in.
I was about to say, how highly was Jake Fromm drafted? Because Laquan Treadwell was like...
Not.
Yeah, he was, I mean...
But is he that same kind of desperation play today?
Oh, he's definitely a desperation play.
If you're starting either of those...
Like, it's because...
If you're starting both of those...
Something catastrophic happened to your team.
if you start both of those this week and you win your matchup, Matthew will write and perform a personalized song for you at the beginning of next week's show.
I agree.
Eric, you know T. What? Higgins... Sure.
that's a 2-3 vote. 2-1 vote.
Send it in to any of us. You can see our Twitter handles right there. If you start Laquan Treadwell and Jake Fromm and win your matchup this week, Matthew will write you a song.
That's a deal.
Absolutely. That is a deal. I'm not musically talented at all, so this will be fun.
I can't wait. I hope it happens. All right, Eric, T. Higgins' ankle injury this week on a horse collar tackle. Come to talk about it. I saw it happen, and I was like, ooh, that looked bad. And then next thing you know, the athletic trainer's out there talking to him. What's going on with him?
Yeah, I'm not concerned at all for him, and I think he was quoted as also being totally not concerned. I think this is easy. He'll be ready to roll.
Sounds good. If he misses time, obviously it's Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd. The Bengals are not short of receiver talent, so it's really just kind of pick your poison there. Adam Thielen, Matthew, dealing with a little bit more severe of an ankle injury. What can you tell us about him?
So he is now listed as doubtful. After today's practice, he was not at the open portion of today's practice. They're on a short week. They play Thursday. I'm giving it like almost 100% chance he does not play. So he's been great for fantasy this year, but you should come up with other plans. Now, at least him being the Thursday game, you're not waiting till Sunday night or something like that to see if he plays. Like, you'll know during the on Thursday, and you'll be able to pivot to someone else. So that's a good sign. But off this short week, he's not going to play this week. Now, maybe he'll be back next week. I could see that as a very real possibility. Maybe even more likely it's the following week, but just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, high ankle sprains can be a fickle beast, especially for older players like Thielen. In relief for him, KJ Osborne scored a touchdown last week, and I expect him to fill into the wide receiver two role there in Minnesota, which has shown that it can be quite lucrative. But another name to know in Minnesota's offense is Tyler Conklin. He's kind of emerged this year as a pretty decent option at tight end, and in a position that's so scarce, he's somebody that if you don't already have him on your roster, he's worth an add for the playoffs. Certainly Conklin, a name to keep an eye on, Tyler Conklin.
Conklin got a ton of targets once Thielen went down. So, yeah, yes, great call on that.
Thielen's been their red zone target the past several years, and I feel like Tyler Conklin's going to fill in that role quite a bit in the coming weeks. Eric, New York Giants wide receiver room, we're making our weekly visit to him. This week, it's adding Kenny Golladay to the list. Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney also on the or listed on the injury report. What's going on?
Yeah, the Giants wide receivers are pretty much the only reason that we have a show. We talk about them every week. But I mean, all three are very untrustworthy to round out the season where, you know, they're all dealing with soft tissue injuries. Sterling Shepard has a quad injury. Toney has a quad abdomen injury. And Golladay has a rib injury. Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, they were both listed as doubtful as early as Friday last week, which tells me that they weren't very close to returning. Golladay, he's an older player like Sterling Shepard. They're both 28. And, you know, going back to Tua and Fields, we know that these rib injuries, they can take 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, I'm not that optimistic about Golladay for this week. Really, for all of them, you need to be following the practice reports. But how can you trust them even when they do get out there? I wouldn't, if I had any other option, if I had Laquan Treadwell, I'd be considering them.
Let's get it. All righty. Yeah, the only wide receiver of note really that's healthy there is Darius Slayton. Hopefully Saquon gets some targets. I don't know, Jake Fromm to Saquon Barkley for 15 targets this week. You can book it.
Inject it into my veins.
Yeah, Matthew.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
I mean, he doesn't have a better option. I don't know who else he's
Evan Ingram?
Okay.
That's a name.
It's a name.
Man, that's messed up.
Speaking of highly touted guys that, okay, never mind. We're not going to rag him. Matthew, Debo Samuel, I gave him my apologies last week, but still dealing with that groin injury. Can we expect him back sooner than later, or is this
keep
him out for a while?
We could theoretically see him back this week. They all said right. When it first happened, it was a 1 to 2 week injury. Obviously, we've already had 1 week go by, and he did not play. My personal thoughts are he would probably miss this week as well. At this point, he is questionable. So even to begin with, he kind of described it more as a tightening up than it was a sharp pain for his groin. So if he starts logging some full practices towards the end of the week, then I fully expect he's going to play. If he's even just limited all week, I could see the 49ers playing it very safe with him and not wanting to risk him coming back, even though they are in contention for a playoff spot, as he's kind of emerged as one of the focal points of their offense and should be for years to come. I don't think they would want to risk it over one game. So, but if he starts logging some full practices, I bet he plays.
Yeah. If he's healthy, he's a must start. There's no way around it. If he doesn't play, then Brandon Ayuk gains a little bit of value, but George Kittle is their offense right now. He was bananas this week, but if you're desperate for a wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk might be one that you might be able to use, but he's likely rostered. But hey, you never know. Check your waiver wire. He had a rough start to the season. I know one of my leagues, he got dropped. Keep an eye out for him. All righty, Eric, our last wide receiver here. Keenan Allen was added to the COVID list this week after the game. What's his likelihood of passing and being ready to go this week?
Yeah, so the big question is whether or not he's vaccinated. And I think that a representative from NFL Network reported that he is vaccinated, which is really good news for this week and next week, his availability. What he's going to need is back-to-back negative COVID tests that are at least one day apart. He should have plenty of time for that between now and Sunday. But, you know, it's going to be one of those things that it's possible that he doesn't get those. So just, you know, keep your ear to the ground and see what happens. But it's likely that he'll play.
Yeah. If in his absence, if he doesn't, I know I read somewhere that the average for somebody put on the COVID list has been 1 week of missed time this season. Some hard-hitting analytics right there for you. Mike Williams will be the name to know in that offense if he does miss time. All right, technically three players to cover here at the tight end position, but two from one team. Matthew, I'm going to let you talk about Eric's Washington football team. Logan Thomas suffered a nasty looking knee injury this week, and he would normally be followed up by Ricky Seals-Jones, who was serviceable earlier in the year, but he's dealing with his own injury. What's going on with this tandem in Washington?
So first off, Logan Thomas, yes. I think the initial fear was that he tore his ACL. Now they've come out and said that it's been relatively good news that he didn't tear his ACL. This leads me to believe he probably sprained it, which on the grand scheme of things is a much better outcome than having to get surgery, but it could very well be something that he misses the rest of the season with, or at least the rest of fantasy relevant season with. He's doubtful at this time. They're still doing tests on him, so we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on IR and misses the rest of the season, but that's just kind of how I see it. Now, Ricky Seals-Jones has been dealing with this hip issue going on the last few weeks. Now, he did log limited practices all last week and then ended up not suiting up for the game. So that's really good news coming into this week that you would expect him to. What are you laughing
at? I apologize. Eric's wilding in the comments right now. No, I'm trying to hold it together.
You're fine. Ricky Seals-Jones, he logged limited practices all last week. And then I would expect he kind of progresses off of that and returns this week, but just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't keep my composure there. Eric got to me, but hopefully Ricky Seals-Jones can be ready to go. He filled in nicely, but it likely mostly will mean more targets for Terry McLaurin. Hopefully some of the other receivers can get going in Washington and their offense. All right, Eric, last one for us here. Darren Waller dealing with that knee injury. What's the likelihood we see him ready to go this week?
I think there's a fair chance. I mean, last week he was formally listed as week to week. This week he's been upgraded to what they're saying is day to day. Last week he did rest all days of the week, did not practice until finally listed as out after Friday. I think that this is another one of those things where they want him to play. This is going to be, you know, a competitive game, I think, against the Chiefs. And the team is in contention for a playoff spot. So, you know, monitor the practice reports for a trend line. You want to see at least limited practice by Friday, but I'm optimistic that he'll be able to play.
Yeah. I am as well. If for some reason he suffers a setback, Foster Moreau would be backing him up rather, but I would expect Bryan Edwards to kind of be the primary target in that offense without Waller there. That's going to do it for us for injury news. Gentlemen, we're at full strength. You know what that means.
Trivia.
Time for a little trivia action.
For us to miss basic anatomy questions.
No, we're back to NFL trivia this week. Good news for y'all. Alrighty, just to review, Matthew is ahead by 2. He's up 13-11 on the season. This week there are 2 points up for grabs, so we could come out of this with a tie if Eric's able to sweep it. I'll have you both send in your answers in the comments. But without further ado, let's get to it. Unlikely heroes Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown hooked up for a game-winning touchdown this week to get the Lions their first win of the season. Head coach Dan Campbell out here finally getting after somebody's kneecaps. So excited for them, but
nice.
Apparently they can't even taint correctly. But the question is related to game-winning touchdowns. Who was the first quarterback in NFL history to record 5 game-winning touchdown passes in the fourth quarter or overtime in a single season? This is an active NFL quarterback at the time. I have been known to be an apologist of this player. It's not Tom Brady. For those that know I'm a Patriots fan, I'll go ahead and I'll give you that. You can cross him off the list. But I have been an apologist for him on fantasy Twitter in the past. There's a point available for naming the player and a point available if you can name the season. He is active and it is in the past 10 years.
I feel like this is tricky.
We've talked about some of his teammates today. That narrows it down to just about anybody.
That actually changes who I was thinking of, though.
Teammates, plural, you said, huh?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
I'm giving you both the same hint, so I'm not worried about it.
Interesting.
He's always played on the same team.
Is it Tyrod Taylor?
He's always played on the same team.
Just kidding.
Trying to piece together who all we've talked about today.
You've got the show doc in front of you, man.
That's what I'm looking at. All right, I'm gonna type
Ooh,
my answer.
Ears out. I respect that grind. All righty, let's get those answers in. Give me a player and a year. Y'all ready?
Sure. Okay.
And why not?
All righty, send it in.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, we've got a point each.
Ooh, cool.
Y'all almost teamed up. Alrighty, who was the first quarterback in NFL history to record 5 game-winning touchdown passes in the fourth quarter or overtime in a single season? The correct answer is Derek Carr in 2016.
Wow. So, ooh, I felt like that was a
Matthew
good year.
With Derek Carr, Eric with 2016. Eric said Russell Wilson, 2016. Matthew said Derek Carr, 2018.
He's a snazzy guy. I don't know.
I felt like it had to have been someone not super obvious.
Russell Wilson's a pretty good guess. I feel like he just doesn't have the opportunity because they're either winning by a billion or getting boat raced.
Yeah, but he's a chef in the kitchen, you know? He makes things happen.
He do be baking. Sure. Something like that. I don't know.
He is unlimited.
Alrighty, so score update. Matthew 14, Eric 12. You're still holding on to that 2-point lead, man. Eric, start reading some NFL history books or something. I don't know what to tell you. Alrighty, let's close this thing out with some social media handles. Eric, where can we find you on social media, my friend?
All right, I am the Nighthawk PT. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_Nighthawk.
Alrighty, Matthew, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at Fantasy Ferret.
Alrighty, that's going to do it for us this week. We've got to give a big thank you to John C. for all of our intro and outro music. You can find him, johncmusic@gmail.com. That is johncemusic@gmail.com. Again, my name is Kyle Allen. You can find me on Twitter at KAllen_4. Thank you for listening. If you tuned in live, thank you for tuning in and sticking with us. Thank you if you're listening to it later. Check out the latest from Rider Dynasty on our website, riderdynasty.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. That's going to do it for us this week. Best of luck to you guys. If you're starting the playoffs and you have questions, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to help. Have a great week. Peace out. Don't forget, the best ability is availability.
Adios.